Blog Talk Radio.
Naked Shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism, metaphysical, and holistic. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Welcome to withinsightsradio.com. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. Welcome back. I know I've been on a little bit of a hiatus. I've been gone for a little bit and just kind of doing my own thing. Soccer season's over, so that's one of the reasons I haven't been on, because I've just been so busy coaching and working with kids. So I do apologize for disappearing for the time I have. But also, it's been a time of reflection. It's also been a time to come back and work on myself. And work on the different aspects of who I am, how I believe I am, who I am, how I am, and how I flip through this world. Need a little water there to clear my throat. For the next 90 minutes, we're going to be hanging out together here, those of you who can. The show is being recorded on Blog Talk Radio, and it's going to go out through all the different channels, through iTunes, Spreaker, you name it. Just goes through the whole band of networks. Right now, we're here live streaming on Facebook, and I miss you too, Juanita. It's been a while, and it's been kind of strange not being able to do a show. I've been kind of chopping a bit to do it, but the timing just hasn't been right. So today's the day to do a show and to get really excited and get really fired up about it. So you guys bear with me, stick with me. We're going to do this, and we're going to kind of work together. Bit like we start our show, we kind of give thanks to our ancestors and those who came before us, those who have been in our family, those who have been in our life, those who are not well, those who are sick. I have several friends that I want to give a shout out to, my friend Jody Sandoval and her family, and several others, and especially for the people who are having a hard time right now and going through the struggle and going through that phase between going from a caterpillar to the cocoon, sitting in the cocoon, just ready to bust out of the cocoon, not quite butterfly yet, just kind of going through that energy. I kind of feel like I'm in that energy too, and so I want to put out a shout out for that. So we're going to light a candle, okay, today in honor of all the folks that we love and care about and remember them. So light a candle. It has three wicks. So it'll be center point. Earth Mother, Sky Father. So we light our candle and give thanks. We get a little prayer. We take a little moment to reflect, give thanks to the things that we have in our lives, the people we have in our lives, our friends, our family, our loved ones, and even the ones that we've said goodbye to and parted ways with and no longer in our lives. So we want to give thanks to them. We're also going to light a little bit of a sage, a little bit of a little bit of saging here. I love this stuff. Do a little cleansing on ourselves, a little clearing, taking the smoke into our eyes so we can see all the beautiful things. Take the smoke into our mouth so we can speak all the beautiful things. Take the smoke into our ears so we can hear all the beautiful things. Take the smoke into our heart, into our spirit, into our soul, so we can be one with all the beautiful things in the universe. May the highest purpose be served. May our show do well. May we reach the place we need to reach today, get across the points we want to get across, learn what we need to learn, share what we need to share. This is an interactive show, so you can actually call in. You can ask questions too. The call number is 646-595-3440 for those of you who want to call in on Blog Talk Radio. For those of you who have questions online, just type something in and I'll get through to you and get you online. So now we're set. The smoke has been lit. The candles have been lit. Our intention is set. We're ready to move forward and do our show. And we're live. We're back and we're ready to go. So, guys, thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it because today's show, I think, is kind of important. I labeled it Me, Tarzan, You, Jane. There's a reason for that. I wanted to do the show like this because we're really living in a time right now where it's very, very, very important to know how to treat people and how you want to be treated. But the point is about why I labeled this show Me, Tarzan, You, Jane is because many of us want to be treated a certain way and expect to be treated a certain way, but yet sometimes we don't always treat people the same way we want to be treated. But we haven't really taught people how to treat us. And I think that's what's important. And I think that's what's very valuable is that we don't have the tools to actually project forward to people and teach them how to treat us. Sometimes we just assume that people are just going to be kind, they're going to do their thing, and that doesn't always happen. That's not always the idea. That's not always the way it goes. So if you know anything about the story of Tarzan, you know, the man-ape, and if you know anything about Jane, Tarzan was a little boy who was pretty much, I guess, lost in the jungles, in Africa. And one day, he got separated from his family, got lost, family got killed. You know, there's many versions of that story. The gist of it is that he ended up growing up with a whole different belief system. He ended up growing up with a whole different view of life, a whole different view of how things were, okay? So if you think about it, Tarzan, okay, living in the jungle, living with, you know, the apes, the great apes, you know, I think in the movie they depicted silverbacks, if I'm not mistaken. But anyhow, his whole upbringing and his whole belief systems were all geared on how nature and how the apes were going to live and how he was going to function in this new society, this matriarch society, and how he was going to move through. Now, the cool thing about it was, did Tarzan know he was an ape, or did Tarzan know he was a man? Well, there might have been a point where Tarzan didn't really know the difference except for how he saw himself and how he, looked at himself or how he was protected. But the cool thing was, in this movie, and I know it's fictional, and I know it's, but it sends a good message to understand that, you know, sometimes we are a product of our environment. Sometimes we become the things that we are because of how we've been treated, how others have treated us, how others have loved us, taunted us, hurt us, embraced us, kissed us, all of the above. Now, in particularly in the Tarzan, movie, there's different, like I said, different variations. Tarzan grew up with apes. So Tarzan grew up with, a nonverbal communication in the sense of how we speak English or other languages. He grew up with different types of language. You know, he grew up with this other language, this other rule of order. He grew up with this connection with nature. He grew up with this connection to, animals, connection to life. His view of life was completely different. Okay? Was he a savage? Not necessarily. Was Tarzan a savage? No, not necessarily. Tarzan is a product of his environment. So Tarzan was a product of his environment, as we are a product of our environment, how we grow up and how we are treated. All right? If we come from a fairly good home where we're treated pretty well, then most of the time we're going to kind of be the same way. We're going to kind of be in that kind of parameters where we're going to have, learning from our parents how to behave, how to act, how to treat others, how to be treated. But, even in the movie Tarzan, he had to learn to know his position, to know his place, okay? So Tarzan lived life only the way he knew, and kind of like you and I do. We live life how we believe we should live it, and we try to live it the best that we can. And sometimes it's not always accurate, and sometimes it's not always, perfect, and it's not always in the direction we want it to be. But, we do our best. So now Jane comes from a whole different, background. She comes from a whole different avenue. She comes from a whole different perspective on life. She comes from a different angle. And Tarzan came from a different place, where she's completely different. So when you start to put all these elements together, we have to reintegrate Tarzan. We have to actually integrate Jane to some degree to understand Tarzan, to understand these two. So human beings are the same way. We have to understand that not everybody who we come in contact with, not every human being that, we shake, hug, or give a kiss to necessarily comes from the same type of upbringing, comes from the same type of belief systems. Now, we believe because, you know, we are humans and believe because there are morals and because we believe we set a set of standards that we have to live a certain way. And most of the times that's our way. But when we start to understand that, you know, we come from different backgrounds, we come from different traditions, we come from different belief systems, that can be very difficult. That can be very difficult at times. It can change how we see and how we view the world. And I believe that's what happens a lot of us, to a lot of us, how we see the world and how we perceive the world. You know, most of the time we're judged by our actions, you know, either good or bad. But, you know, depending where you come from, depending where you were raised and how you were raised and what part of the country you're raised in, your actions will dictate how other people will see you and how other people will treat you. So in the particular case for like Tarzan was trying to navigate the world through the parameters and the perceptions that were given to him by the family that adopted him, which were the apes. And Jane, of course, she also had her perceptions and her beliefs how she saw the world. And so when these two worlds clash and collide, they don't seem to fit eye to eye. But there's a whole different bunch of players in this show. And the reason I like this movie as an analogy is because we're kind of in the time right now where we're really clashing with belief systems. We're really clashing with ideologies. We're really clashing with the things that some of us, you know, take to heart and some of us don't take to heart. Your neighbor, your friend, the person next to you, you know, may not believe what you believe. But how do you get along? How do we work together in a society where there's so many different points of view, so many belief systems, so many things that are just not in congruency with our belief systems? How much do we give away? How much do we give up? How much are we able to, you know, explain and you know, just let go of? And I think that's where we're at right now in this time. You know, it's kind of like, you know, telling Tarzan he has to integrate back into the way of, you know, how life is in, let's see, the sectors where his family's from. In this particular case, I believe they were from England or from some European country. And so he had to adjust. He had to adjust to the life that he didn't know. In order for him to integrate and to be part of that, he had to learn again. We have to learn. And, you know, he could have been an ape, a white ape. You know, he could have just been crazy and done the things he did. And, you know, maybe he would have got by. But he made an effort not to. But you know what? In order for him to get and to be where he was, he had to really work and change and do. Now, I believe right now we're living in a time where, you know, we have these parameters where some of us are Tarzan and some of us are Janes. And some of us are, you know, the one percenters and some of us are the 99, you know. And we all have to integrate. How do we integrate? How do we all integrate? How do we all come to a common ground? How do we all come to a place where we can try to understand one another? It's very difficult. It's difficult when you don't have the experiences or the memories of what's that like. Now, there are some rich people who understand what it means to be poor. But there are not a lot of poor people, not a lot of average people who know what it means to be rich. And I'm one of them. I mean, it's a whole different standard of living. It's a whole different standard of life. So right now we're living in a time where everything, and it, you know, we're being under the microscope. We're trying to become more in tune with our emotions, our feelings, and understandings of others. But yet we also have this breaking point where we're all, both sides, and I'm not talking just about one side, but both sides are having this frustration because the other side doesn't see the other side's point of view or doesn't understand it or doesn't get it or doesn't want to. Okay? I'll even throw that in there because, I mean, I'm sure there's people who don't even care what happens. But if we're going to move into this place that we call, you know, our home or whatever, we have to find a balance. We have to find harmony. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult, especially when other people don't have, you know, the patience to understand. You know, it's kind of like when they forced Tarzan, they wanted him to, you know, integrate and be like the aristocratic folks and be like that. And, you know, but it was difficult for him. It was very hard. It was very, you know, it was really a way that he just wasn't able to see the world. He doesn't know that world. So he only lived the world according to how he feels. But eventually you start to remember, there's an innate feeling inside of us to understand things. Now, Jane's purpose also, she was very patient with him. She wanted to teach. She wanted to learn. She also wanted to understand, which is good because men generally, and I'm generalizing, sometimes men don't have the patience to take time to listen and take time to understand, take time to see the world a certain way. And I'm also generalizing women, and most majority of women that I'm aware of, that I know, they seem to have some type of patience and some type of understanding and to get to the points quicker than men do. Sometimes men, we flounder a little bit because we always see the gray areas, and I think women see the gray areas too, but men like to live in the gray area. I don't know why. We kind of seem to like to be there. The gray area kind of gives us, I don't know if it gives us an out or if it gives us what. But, you know, it gives us an opportunity to be able to ride the fence, I guess. You know, when I'm not in the mood of going one way, I'll go one way. And, you know, I don't want to get too much off target here because my story is kind of how people are evolving, how as a society we're evolving, we're changing. And the things that were good before are no longer good for us. The things that we used to, how we used to see the world is not, you know, it's not conducive to productivity. It's not good to love, harmony, and, you know, whatever we're doing. Right now we're living in a time where we're really battling change. We're really battling, you know, the changes inside of us and how we want to see the world and how we want the world to be better. What does that mean for the world to be better? But, you know, when you have 365 million people here just in the United States alone, and that's probably a bigger number, you know, there's, how do we all get along? How do we all see the world? How are we all going to get together to agree, to disagree, or agree? And I'm not trying to get political here, so bear with me. I don't want anybody to get across that line thinking it's about politics, because this isn't about politics. This is about understanding one another and understanding, you know, how we survive and how we're going to move forward in this time and space. Because it's important. It's very super important to be able to kind of reach a place where you can understand what your neighbor is like, or what your brother is like, or your sister, or, you know, your significant other. Because we live in a time where we take a lot of things for granted. We take things for, you know, for what it is sometimes. And we do ask questions, and we do battle, and we do have our concerns. We do voice them. But there's also a time where, you know, we're getting to the place where, you know, we're trying to move into a good energy. So how do we move into good energy, all of us in this society together, working together? How do we make that happen? How do we make this place a better place for all of us, not just a certain group of people, not just for just a small group of people who want to see the world a certain way? You know, because right now, the times that we're living in is no different than the times that we lived back, you know, 500 years ago, 1,000 years. They had their issues, they had their problems too. And, you know, we're kind of in, I want to say we're better positioned to make better changes and better movements, because there was a time where you were a slave, and that was it. It didn't matter if you're black, white, Egyptian, you know, whatever, you know, Inca, whatever. It didn't matter. Or Indian, it doesn't matter. There was a time where you couldn't fight. You couldn't fight the system. You couldn't make an upheaval, and you couldn't cause a revolution. You could cause a change, but it was very difficult. At least today we have our voice. We're able to change. But sometimes I find that it gets suppressed. I find it gets suppressed. Our energy gets suppressed. We're not allowed to express who we are. And then if we do express ourselves, then, you know, there's other factions that disagree with us. And that's fine. No problem. But in Tarzan's case, Tarzan wanted to, he was living fine until somebody discovered him in the wood, in the jungles, you know. Sometimes, you know, we can live our life pretty well and not be bothered. And then all of a sudden there's a change that comes, and then all of a sudden we have to adapt. So how do we adapt? How do we adapt in this world? How do we adapt to things that trigger us? How do we adapt to things that just put us off sometimes? I'm not asking people to say, hey, you know, I'm going to put up with it. But there has to be a way for you to say, okay, I'm gonna navigate this. I'm going to surf this. I'm going to ride this wave, because it is a wave. It is a moment in time. It is a moment in our existence where we're actually being tested. We're actually testing. We're actually making concerted changes and efforts to make something better of ourselves and make our something better of everything around us, okay? And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. even when we try to take somebody out of their situation and change how they live and how they see the world, there's still parts of them that stay the same because they just can't move from that space. You know, you're integrated. It's ingrained in you to believe things a certain way. Now, I'll have friends who are very liberal, and I have friends who are very conservative. I have friends who are moderate. I have friends from the whole gamut of belief systems. What makes it difficult to have that many types of friends is when they start to ask you questions about your belief systems and, you know, how you see the world. Are you a Tarzan? Are you a Jane? Are you, you know, the expedition group? What part of the expedition group are you? How do you see the world? How do you explore it? How do you expedite on it? How do you get into it? And it can be very bothersome and troublesome sometimes for people. It can be a very difficult task for some folks to see and be able to move into the world and to be in the place they need to be. Because we live in this world now that if we say something, we could possibly get judged by it. We can possibly be, you know, it could possibly be used against us. And that's just kind of how it is, you know. We're living in a time where whatever comes out of our mouth is a potential in something to say, hey, you know what? Iggy said this. But then, you know, 5 years later, I said that. Don't I have the opportunity or the right to change my mind later? Don't I have the opportunity to say, well, that was me in a different time, a different version of myself. I had a different feelings, a different emotional. My finances were different. There was just, everything was different about me. You know, I hope that I'm evolving and not regressing. But, you know, it's all according to people's standards, how they see you. People will judge you. People will judge you. People will, you know, put you, label you according to how they see the world. Okay? And then there's other groups. There's other factions that, you know, also they project upon the world, upon our society, how they think and feel that things should run and how things should move. How do you live? How can you live? How can we move and how can we navigate? How can we be in a world that when somebody is angry at one group of people, and yet I'm not saying that you're not angry, but you choose not to be angry at them. You don't choose to, that doesn't bother you. Yes, it may have ramifications. It may have things that, you know, affect all of us. But some people don't, it's not that they're not engaging. It's just they see and they want to approach the world differently. And we should give them the right to approach the world in the way they want to see it, how they want to experience it, not how the group wants to experience it. The mob mentality is not a good thing. Because when we start implementing the mob mentality on the people, that they have to be this way or that way, you don't have growth. You don't have creativity. Then you're a follower. Then you're following. You don't have the freedom of expression at that point because somebody else is dictating that freedom of expression for you. So be very careful who you follow, when you follow, how you're following, and who are you following, and who is following, and who's speaking for you. That's why it's super important to know your associations. Pretty important to know what you personally stand for versus what the group stands for. Because even though the group stands for something, it doesn't mean that they actually, then, you know, you don't want to compromise your belief systems because somebody else has created a pattern for you. So many of us put our hands into groups and we allow people to, you know, lead the way for us. But yet we kind of go, well, I don't agree with that. But hopefully you're able to open your mouth, speak your truth and say, hey, you know what? I don't think that's a good way. If more people just speak up and say, hey, you know what? I don't know. We really need to see that all the angles on this. Oh, no, there are no angles. We have to do it this way because, you know what? If we don't do it, everything's going to go to hell. You know, you have to be careful what you project out to the world and what you receive back. Because what you project out, it manifests and creates. You know, energetically, we create that. We bring more of that. What we persist and what we resist keeps coming back to us. Resistance, and it will persist. Okay? I'm not saying you have to live ultra positive and ultra, you know, this negative or whatever. But it's good to ask questions. Even when you're in a group, there's a moment to be a Tarzan. There's a moment to be a Jane. There's a moment to ask questions. There's a moment to raise the banner and fly it and, you know, say, hey, you know, we're going to move this way. We're going to move in that direction. But so many of us want other people to lead for us You know, because we don't even, we have a hard time leading ourselves at times. So how do we lead within the leadership and the things that are happening? How do we move forward without giving ourselves away? One of the biggest issues that I see in the world, not just in the United States, is that men don't really have social groups, per se, in the sense, kind of like women. Women can go off and do women things and create women events and do activities that just involve women. And, you know, and it's in a spiritual light, it's a different way. So what do men do? Where are men left to go? Other than just going to some religious thing where they're praying and thanking God. No, they don't have nothing against that. But they're not all men are like that. It's like saying all women are like that. You know, how do we get men to understand what it means to be, you know, honorable, and to understand it to be, you know, good, what it means to respect yourself, let alone respect other people? How do we teach that to our young men? How do we teach that to people? How do we empower men? Because we sure know how to empower women. Women do a very good job empowering other women. And I see that a lot, and especially in the groups that I work with and the friends that I have. Women don't seem to have a power empowering women. Women have gone through a very difficult struggle through life. You know, without women, we're not here. I mean, plain and simple, you know. And men also, our donation isn't very big, but it's a donation that's very valuable. It's very important. You know, our donation to giving, you know, part of our gene pool in the creation of baby is also as valuable as a woman carrying a child for 9 months. I believe that's true. And sometimes that's it. And sometimes men just walk away and that's all they've done. And that's all they've contributed. But it's a contribution. So how do we tell men to say, okay, how do we become better as men? How do we improve as men? How do we get into this space where men can do tribal things, spiritual things, and not feel awkward, not feel funny? And it's not just about watching football and TV and soccer or whatever, or drinking beers, you know, whatever. So how do we get men, because women seem to have the key and the understanding to do this, and they've done this. I see this, you know, I see women create all these beautiful, you know, things that are women-driven experiences. Men don't have that in our culture. Men don't have initiations. Men don't have a way to say, I'm a man now. They're not going, yeah, I'm a man. I drank my first beer at 21. Yee-haw. I smoked me a cigarette, you know. How do we do that? How do we teach young men who are coming up in the world what it means to be a man? And I'm not talking about going get a job, go to work, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm talking about how do you respect yourself as a human being, you know, as a man? How do you go and say, you know, I'm a man, you know, listen to me roar, you know? So how do men, we've been taught we have to be strong. We've been taught that we can't cry. We've been taught that we are the breadwinners. We've been taught that, you know, we are the most dominant of the species, you know? We're the farthest. Men are strong, yes. Men are smart, yes. Women are strong, yes. Women are smart. Everybody's smart to some degree. But our societal formations and how, and, you know, we created, and I know we're bringing down the walls a little bit. So how do we integrate men to understand that there's more to life than just being super masculine, to being in contact with their femininity? Because remember, we're in that womb. We have no sex until later, much later on, when the, you know, testosterone or the estrogen start to build up, and we start to create our organs start to shift and change. So to some degree, we're nothing in the beginning. We're just something until our body, until the mother starts to pump certain hormones into us. So honestly, how do we teach men? How do I teach our young men or our old men? You know, how do we teach this world that, you know, that everybody's valuable and that you're valuable? I think men, and I'm speaking from experience, sometimes we don't have value in ourselves, so we have to prove our dominance and our strength in order to prove that we have value, you know? And sometimes that doesn't always have a good result. That doesn't always have a good ending. Sometimes it doesn't have a good beginning. How do we teach men to be gentle, soft, and loving and caring? And I'm generalizing a little bit because I'm sure online we got men in here who are very sensitive and very loving and very caring. I want to believe that I'm very gentle, loving, and caring too. But I also have that, like most men, you know, we're very territorial. We're very protective of the things that we have and things that we own and things that we believe and how we want the world to be a certain way. So how do we bring that balance? How do we bring that love energy into a masculine world that we create? Right now, in most Native American traditions, the women are held above and revered and protected and honored. You know, you have council of 13, you know, grandmothers. And, you know, in most councils, the men surround the women and protect them. You know, and the women are the leadership. So how do we do that? What's wrong in the Western society where women are a threat to some men? And I say that. Literally, I believe that for some men, it's threatening when a woman is dominant, when a woman is strong, when a woman is perceived, you know, more smart. So how do we change that perception? How do we change that? How do we move out of that energy? How do we move out of that energy to say, hey, you know what? You know, women aren't like that. Women are the life givers. Women are the life bearers. Women are the ones who give birth. Women are who birthed me. My mom birthed me. My dad gave his sperm to help inoculate the egg and move forward. And then he gave me some traits, and I took some traits from my mom, and then next thing you know, I am who I am, and here I am. I'm a version of them, pieces and parts of them, okay? So how do we teach men to honor and respect themselves, number one? Because I think the issue is that men sometimes don't respect themselves, and they don't understand how to respect themselves. Because when someone calls you no good and you can't do anything without me type situation, you know, that puts an imprint in your head. It teaches us that generation to teach the next generation to teach the next generation to be the same way. And behind closed doors, I guarantee you people say more crap than you can ever imagine in your life. Okay, behind closed doors, people say so much crap that they would never say out in the public. But now we're living in a time where there's this awakening, this the veil is thin. The veil may have ripped, who knows? But I think we're starting to see, you know, the true colors of why men are fearful. And men are fearful of their own divinity. Men are fearful of the love to show love to any outside of their circle. I think men are a little bit afraid to give a hug or, you know, give an embrace without feeling that, you know, maybe it's just never taught for some men. Some men just never were taught that. You know, I have to say that I wasn't really taught that either. You know, I wasn't taught to just hug. We gave kisses on the cheek, and that was respect, and that's understanding. I still do that. I still give my dad a kiss on the cheek. It doesn't mean anything except that. It's just respect and honor, saying I acknowledge you. It's just something that comes from my culture, Latin American culture. And, you know, in this country, I find that men really struggle. Men really struggle to be soft and to let down their guard. I've seen it. I've seen where, I say, you know, I ask now if it's okay to give a hug. If someone says, no, I don't want to give a hug. And I honor and respect that. I don't force upon myself my belief system if someone isn't in congruence with that. And there are people who are just really pushy and they're like, well, I'm a hugger. I'm going to hug you. Well, you know what? You need to step aside. Have a little respect, a little healthy limits and boundaries. If you don't want, I don't want to be touched, you know, then respect that. But see, because now we live in a moment now where we're afraid that they want to create this thing where we don't allow to touch anybody. And, you know, we're getting into this moment where now if we even look at somebody a certain way, you know, it could be a bad thing. So it really makes me nervous, you know, when we start to look at the world and and we're judged by everything. And I understand that that's going to happen. That's just normal. But where does it stop? Where is the limit? How far back can we judge a person for their actions? At 5, I was probably a terror. A little crazy little kid, probably, that I can recall. And, you know, 10, 12, 15, I'm sure the same. Where's the limit? Where is the place where we teach and embrace? Because here's the problem. When we don't embrace and we don't teach the next generation how to be better than the one that's here now, then they just continue doing the same crap we do. We still keep getting the same results that, you know, they do. Nothing will change. We won't move forward. Now, there are going to be people who just aren't going to change. And you know what? You're going to have to live with that. You're going to have to live with that fact that some people will just never, ever, 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 ever change. But you can change. You can change. You can change how you perceive and how you feel and how you receive that energy and how you receive that feeling, those emotions from people who don't want to change. And I'm not telling them they have to change because you want them to change. No, they don't change because the patterns don't change. The patterns of we don't touch. Or the patterns of, well, no, I'm a man. Men don't do that. Man up. I don't even know what that means. What's that mean? Someone tell me what man up means? I don't know what that means. I've heard it, but it's kind of stereotypical. You know, you're telling me that I'm not being manly enough. And if it comes from a woman, then it's her version of what she thinks a man should be. So then that's a projection. That's a projection onto a man what a woman feels a man should be like. As men project onto women as well, what a woman is should be. So we live in a society that's really screwed up. You know, everything's really a mess right now. And, you know, it's not getting better. So we've got to find ways to make things better. Because if we don't find ways to make things better, it just, that cycle continues and keeps going and rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. You know, it doesn't change. It won't change. It can't change. It can't change because we're not willing to change it. But it only takes a few people to change it. It only takes a small group to change and make things right. That's why we have to be careful when we start to put our hands and give our power away to people. It's kind of like in our government. When we start giving our hands and giving away our power to a smaller group of people, then they can dictate what's important and what needs to be done and how things have to be changed. You know, because when we start to give our power away and we start to say, hey, you know what? You lead for me. We'll give you permission. You have my permission to make decisions for me. Okay? Okay, that's fine. And they will make decisions for you. I trust you, me, on that. Okay? It's kind of like the school systems. Everything. Humanity has to, and people here in the Western cultures have to also understand, we also have to create a new format. We have to reformat, reboot some of the things that we're doing, because some of these things don't work and they're not working. They're not to our benefit. Okay, so we have this. Most people would think Tarzan's a savage. But Tarzan wasn't a savage. Tarzan was a product of his environment. Tarzan was a product of where he came from. Okay? He may have been born a white little baby, but he lived in the jungle. He lived in that jungle with apes. He lived in the jungle with birds, snakes, water, barely clothed. But he adjusted. He learned. He adapted. And then when he was indoctrinated into society, as we know it, as it was, and as it's created, and how it's manifested by the powers to be, then Tarzan either could try to change it, but it's going to be a big struggle. So Tarzan has to adapt. Tarzan can still keep his belief system, and Tarzan can still believe the things he believes and communicate and talk the way he wants to. But in order for Tarzan to move into society, he has to adapt to some degree. Aren't we doing that too? We come from all these different backgrounds. We come from all these different belief systems. We come from all these different, you know, upbringings, and we have to adapt. And we have to compromise. Are we compromising people? I mean, really, are we compromising our belief systems because there's a few people who are putting us in a situation where we have to? I believe so. Sometimes we are. I believe sometimes we compromise things because, well, that's the way it is, and that's how it's always been, and we have to keep doing that, because if we don't do that, then we'll be anarchy in this world. We don't need anarchy. Mm-mm, no way. We don't need guys wearing panda heads and running around drumming circles and causing people to have free and feeling good about themselves and drumming and having a good time. We don't want that, because you know what? That we'll give that to them for now. We'll let them drum. We'll let them have fun. Then they'll come back. They have to go to work. But you see what I'm talking about? You see where I'm getting at? That's why this show is Me, Tarzan, You, Jane. You know, because it's a perfect analogy. It's a perfect, you know, scenario about what it means, what life is about, and what it is. You know, we have to all integrate and work together to make this thing work. Because if we don't make it, if we don't work together, okay, what will happen is we sell ourselves short. We sell ourselves short. And, you know, it's a big world. And just the world we live in, just think of the associations and the people that are just in your life, just the small groups that you hang out with, just the five most influential friends you have. Most of us have five, most of us maybe three or two. Who's leading who in this group? Who is there a common ground? Is there a group? Is there a place where we're all going, well, we're in this together? You know? I don't know. So, you know, it's interesting. I find it very interesting because, you know, right now we are in a time where we're being tested. And we're being tested all over. It's not just here in the United States. It's all over. You know, because belief systems and things are being challenged and they're being destroyed and being brought down. As rightfully so, that happens. That's just normal. That's just how man is. Man and woman, they're not satisfied sometimes with the way the results are coming from things. And it should be. You should test the system. You should test. But what's your system? What's your value system? What do you apply into the equation? What do you bring forward into, you know, this manifestation and creation of this world? Are you happy with what you have? Are you happy with everything that's in your life? Are you happy with all the things, how they work out and play? What would you change? What would you make different? What would it take for you to have to change something? What would it mean for you to actually give up some freedoms and give up some things that are, you know, are important to you? Would you? You know, one of the biggest things that we do is we compromise. You know, how much are you willing to give? How much are you willing to let go of in order for things just to be okay and to move slowly? There are no perfect scenarios. There are no perfect systems. I'm not trying to create a perfect system here, because that doesn't exist. But we can live comfortably. We can live somewhat well and not have to live in these struggles that we live in. We can make this a better place. But remember, everybody that you meet, everybody who you come in contact with is their own little world, is their own little version of their own universe. And they have to take pieces and parts of their own little universe in order to, you know, integrate with the bigger picture, the bigger universe that we've created as a society. And then we have all these people running around with all these different belief systems and all these different standards and all these different, you know, for a lot of us, we could say, yeah, it's okay. You know what? That's okay. And then for others, someone else is like, no, oh my God, how can you let that happen? How can that injustice be? And then you have another group going, well, you know what? They deserved it. They deserved that because they did this and they did that. And then there's another group going, well, you know what? That's not right. You know, whatever. That's what you're going to find. What I hope, okay, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but what I would hope is, especially with your friends and family, let's just leave it at that. If you guys disagree with one another, okay, where's the boundary? Where's the limit where you guys won't become vicious with each other? You know, where is that line? Where have you created that healthy limit and boundary with the people who you care about the most, the people you love? Where is that limit? Where is your limit? But are you so closed off that your belief is it and that's all it is? Because if it's that way, people are just going to turn off and they'll look at you, smile. Oh yeah, okay, Iggy's crazy. What's he talking about? But you know what? People will turn off. People will just shut off. They will love you, depending on what you're looking for. So if you want people to come to your side and see your version, you also have to kind of be open-minded and say, okay, how do I get somebody to come to my side and see my point of view? See it through my eyes, my feeling, my heart, okay? First of all, you have to understand first. You must understand. Just because you feel it, it's in your heart, it's in your system, okay? Just because it's there doesn't mean that everybody's going to follow you and everybody's going to be on you and be with you. That's where you have to first understand. That's where you first be. Because if you don't, you're going to let yourself down. I'll tell you, so many of my friends, you know, who believe things a certain way, get very frustrated with people because they can't bring them to their side. Because you know what? Because you have to understand your neighbor. You have to understand the person in front of you, what they're telling you. You have to listen. You have to hear what they're saying, even if you don't agree with it. If you don't agree with it, then you have the right and the choice to walk away, back off, and go your direction. Align yourself with people who believe in what you believe in, and you're all rah, 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 and this group over here, rah, rah, rah. But if you truly want to understand what the other side is feeling, what the other side is going through, then you have to listen. I know it's difficult for people, and I understand it's hard for people to get this because the election is a good example. And I don't want to get political, but that's just one example, okay? Because there's many things. Elections are a good example. You want to make change? Then you do the changes. You know what to change, what you have to do. You understand politically what you have to do, emotionally what you have to do. Everybody understands that. Will everybody do it? No. No. Not everybody will do it. Is it right or wrong? No. It's neither. It's not about right or wrong. It's about where they need to be, not where you need to be. The problem is we want people to be where we want them to be, and yet people are happy where they're at. So when you understand that the person where they're at is happy until they understand or see something a certain way, they won't move to your side. They won't understand what it means to be a Tarzan or a Jane. They won't get it because you know what? You're approaching them from a different language barrier. You're approaching it from a different emotions and feelings. You know, if I yell at you, you're not going to listen. If I come with a tender voice and gentleness, you probably will listen. But if I'm yelling at you and you're belligerent and things are only your way, I might as well put my fingers in my ears and smile. Because that's what happens. So how do you win and influence friends? Well, you listen. If they're important to you, if that person's important to you, okay, they will listen to you. But if they're not important to you, they won't listen to you. Sorry. People, you can give them the facts. Okay, you can give them a list this big why they should go one way or another in anything, in life, whatever, buying a new car, whatever. It don't matter. Okay. Because we want to be right. We want to be assured that we're smart enough to figure this out on our own sometimes. Very few people ask questions. Very few people, you know, will say, hey, you know what? What do you think? Don't ask them what they think. Ask them how they feel. So how do you feel about this? Because the feeling is different than the thinking. Because then when you're thinking, you're giving an opinion. But if you're giving a feeling, that's from an emotional base in your heart where it's coming from. Because people are eager to give you opinions left and right. Boom. Yeah, there we are. There it is. Boom. So I'm just trying to give you a different perspective. So how do men improve? How do women improve? How do we improve as a society? I think sometimes, you know, taboos and lures and all kinds of things come into play too. I believe sometimes, you know, for example, here in the Western cultures, you know, our bodies are, as a good example, is a sacred temple anywhere. But there are some places in the world where the body is. People walk around naked. They go to the beach. And nobody's walking around with a heart on. Unless you're a tourist. But you see what I'm saying? In different cultures, you know, the breast is not a big deal. But here, you pop some boobs out and the kids are going, oh, no titties, you know. Why? Because we never integrated. You know, we have that Puritan mentality. We've created a system that says, hey, you know what? The body, you got to cover it. Okay, the human body is beautiful. I don't care if you're fat, skinny, ugly, whatever. You know, ugly. Those are all perceptions that I just threw at you. Because one man's beauty is another one's, you know, whatever. Or a woman's this. You know, so we have to understand how we speak and what our language is and how we talk to ourselves, what we say to ourselves. So half the time, half the battle is what we talk to ourselves about, what we say to ourselves. You know, what we say, what comes out of this mouth through these vocal cords, through the ideas in our heads and our memories and our associations and our experiences, all tingling through there and going, ooh, I see the world like this. This is how I see the world. I see the world has a lot of potential. That's how I see the world. I see the world has a lot of potential, a lot of opportunity. I see the world has a lot of frustration. I see the world is confused. I see the world is trying to figure it out. I see the world that some people don't care about other people's feelings, lives, or emotions, or anything. I see that there are some people who are very powerful and don't care about you or me. Can I change that? Possibly. Maybe. There are some aspects that I may not be able to change in my lifetime, but I can, you know, sow those seeds and those ideas and those beliefs for the next generation and the next generation. You know, like I said, it only takes a small group to change things, to change the world. How we approach the world and how we are moving through the world is important in what we're doing. So what do you see? What do you see? How do you see the world? How would you like to see the world? How would you want the world to be? Are you satisfied with the world how it is? Are you happy how it navigates and how it moves? Is there something that you think that humanity could do better? Because it only takes one person to change something. And that's been proven in your life, I'm sure. It's been proven in my life more than once. One person's idea can change millions of people's lives. If you don't believe that you can change the world, then you're defeated. Don't defeat yourself. You can. Because your world is you. So if you can change your world, then you influence the people closest to you. And then they see the change in you. And then they move forward into that space and place. And then you all start to move together. You all start working together. And then you create this ripple effect. You create this amazing, you know, thing. For example, when I started my drum circles, they were small. They weren't big. Now, you know, the biggest one I ever had was like had almost, what, close to 800 people. I haven't quite hit 1,000 yet. But we're over 1,000. Over the years of people showing up, the last drum circle we had over, we had like 300 people probably, 300 people just a couple weeks ago in Ash Cave. Some people said it was more. And that's not counting all the people walking by and looking. But you know where that came from? That came from an idea. That came from an idea. That came from an idea to do something that nobody else was doing. An idea that somebody else planted in me because they weren't willing to do the work or didn't know how to do the work. Some people are just idea people. Some people are there to plant things and create these things. And then we started doing them little by little. Next thing you know, I'm facilitating, my friends are facilitating, we're all facilitating. And we have this amazing combustion, this amazing blossom, this amazing, you know, growth, spiritual, you know, metaphysical, whatever you want to call it. And it just goes boom. Next thing you know, wherever you're at, people want to be there. Wherever you're drumming, people want to be there. And people ask you, when's the next one? When's the next one? That's a movement. That's a change. In my heart, I always go to these things hoping that somebody else is going to start another drum circle, that somebody else is going to start doing this, somebody else is going to do something. Okay? Because when we have those enlightened moments, that's an enlightened moment. You want to be enlightened? Be in the moment. When we're in those enlightened moments, when we're drumming and when things are happening, then you take with you the memories and the feelings and the ideas and all the things that come with that. And then, you know what? We manifest outwardly. Now, instead of having one drum circle, we have four, we have five, we have six, seven, eight. The only reason I started doing this is because nobody was doing them here in Columbus. And, you know, honestly, it's just starting again, people doing drum circles. And then I'm talking about the way we do them, the way I envision with my friend David and Adriana and Mary and Putzi and Colin, all those guys. The way we envision is it's a party, to have a good time, to release, not to be so structured, not because we already have so much structure in our life. Within the non-structure is structure. Okay, within that mess of sounds and harmonies and beats and rhythms comes the awakening, the enlightenment, the healing, the creating, the manifestation. That's when the Tarzans and the Janes come together, and people with all different belief systems and understandings come to this one place where they all go, today we're going to drum. Today we're going to share. Today we're going to dance. Today we're going to sing. Today we're going to just be us. Just be me. And just play my beat. And just feel the love. Share the love. Give back to all the people who love me. That's what it means. That's change. That's change when it's unconditional. When it's an unconditional love, an unconditional understanding, unconditional, you know, not putting any parameters on it, and just let it be. Just let it be who you are. Can we do that in this society? Can we do that in this world? Can we? I mean, can we really just say, hey, you know what? Can we do better? Of course we can. All the time. All the time we can improve. And we should improve. But if you don't see the improvement, then it's on you. If it's on you to create the improvement, it's on you. It's on us. It's on me. So what would happen if I just stopped doing drum circles? Well, I would hope that somebody would say, hey, you know what? We're going to continue doing that. I doubt it that I'll ever stop. I'll probably be 102 and I'll keep drumming. I'm probably a little slower. Either way, you know, you got to love what you're doing. You got to love and you got to come to a common ground and understand. So how can a drum circle make it in a country like ours have such a struggle? And we're not all hippies, man. We're not all hippies in that circle. No, absolutely not. You know, believe it or not, I don't believe myself as being a hippie. I'm just a guy who's just having fun drumming. Now, some of you may think you're hippies, but that's cool. I have nothing against that. You know? But the point is, we're all in there together. We're all in this unification, this circle of love, this place where even men hug, men cry, men dance. Women dance, women cry. We're all sharing our peace and our love and our hopes and understanding. And hopefully we get better. Hopefully it gets better. But you see what I'm saying? Even Tarzan had to adjust. Even Jane had to adjust. If she wanted to be in Tarzan's world, she had to understand Tarzan and where he came from. And Tarzan had to understand where Jane came from and who she was. You couldn't expect her just to give everything up and just be wild like him. But she did. He showed her a different world, a different way of living. And I think sometimes we have to show people a different way, that there's a different way to live, that there's a different way to experience the world. And that's what our drum circles do. That's what our holistic our businesses do, our metaphysical businesses do, our alternative businesses of healing that some of you are in, some of you are listening to the show, okay? We have to show the world that there's other ways to do things. And I think when we start to do that, when men understand, and I'm going to pick on the men, when men understand that it's okay to be soft and it's okay to be gentle, I'm not saying the world's going to be better or worse or less, but their world's going to be better for themselves, for them. And when that's good for them, you can't help but outwardly, that stuff goes out, you know? So men, how do we make men, how do we get men in a circle and just kind of hang out by the campfire without having to drink beers and watch, you know, football and stuff? You know, I've been asked to do that, but, you know, it just seems like it doesn't feel like, in order for someone to learn how to be gentle and soft, I think there's also have to be women in the group. And that's why I work with both groups. I don't just work with men strictly or women strictly. I find that when there's a collaboration of the two, there's a joining of the minds. There's a learning and understanding. There's a tenderness that's learned. There's a moment for women to see how other men are versus their significant others, or a moment where man can see how another woman can just be in the presence of a man that's not, you know, they're related to or associated with. That's why I find it, you know, I don't segregate my events, because we're all brothers and sisters and we all in this together and we all need one each other. You know, we can't pair off. I personally can't pair off and just be a man group and do certain things. I've tried it. It just doesn't work. You know, maybe I just haven't found the right, whatever. But I do find that when men and women and the particular groups that we work together, then we can understand each other. We can understand what's valuable, what's important, and what is of a good nature, and why it's important to see a man cry. I think there have been more men in the groups who've cried, and women have witnessed to see that. Instead of just seeing a guy, men see men cry. It's important. But when a woman sees a man cry, and I'm generalizing here, there's something happens. And when a man sees a woman cry, something happens. And this is what happens when we're in these groups and when we're drumming, we're sweat lodging and doing all these works, meditations, singing bowls. We have an understanding for how the other side feels and how the other side loves. Because as women have been poorly treated, I also believe that women have to feel that men have also been treated bad too. Men have also suffered too. You know, I've suffered. I've been abused sexually. I've been, you know, you name it, you know. Things have happened to me. But I had to be a man. I had to be strong. I had to be whatever society, you know. Now we're a little bit more open to things like that. But things happen to men too. Men don't speak up because I believe they're embarrassed. I believe that it hurts and it's embarrassing to share their feelings. Okay? And our feelings are important. And I think as men, sometimes we haven't been taught to be able to feel and share our feelings, because we've been in a society that has told us that men are not supposed to feel the way women feel. But I'm here to tell you that's changing, because you know what? The men who are hurt, the men who were not allowed to feel, are teaching other men that it's okay to feel. It's okay to love. It's okay to let go. It's okay to tell your story and share your story and tell the world that I was abused too, that I was hurt too. And you know, it's difficult sometimes to share that story. And I've shared that story with you guys in the past, but to actually let down your guard and let down your emotions and your feelings and just say, hey, you know what? You know, it happens. It shouldn't happen, but it does happen. Do we become stronger from it? Do we learn from it? do we go to the place where our heart isn't hard anymore? Are we afraid? I was afraid. I was afraid of how I was going to feel or how people were going to respond to me. And I was a younger man, too, so you can understand. I don't feel that way anymore, but it was a time where I was embarrassed, a time where I was like, well, I don't want anybody to know, you know, that's kind of personal, you know, whatever. But if you don't tell your story, and I'm not saying you have to tell your story, but I find that when I tell my story, it helps other people heal. It helps me heal. It helps other people have hope. And to say, hey, you know what, that guy, you know, I don't know him, but you know, he said something that really changed something in my heart, something that changed in my eyes. And then, you know, if you change, people change. And that's important for us to change. And, you know, I'm still working on things. I'll always be working on things. I'll do my best to treat people the best way I can possibly treat them. Just because you treat someone good doesn't mean they're always going to treat you well. But you just got to keep going. You got to keep moving forward. Because even if someone, you say hi to somebody and they don't say hi back, maybe in that moment the wind just blew by their ear and they didn't hear you. Or maybe they're in such an emotional state of mind and frustration that they chose not to hear you. Or maybe they're just afraid. So don't get upset. Don't get too frustrated if you walk down the street and you say hello and somebody doesn't say hi to you. Because I guarantee you, most of the time, they're in a different place in their mind. And you know what? You may be the first person that ever said hi to them. And they may walk down the street and go, like, did that person just say hi to me? And I didn't say anything. Wow. Well, that was rude. Maybe I'll go, next person I'll see, I'll say hi. And then that person says hello. And then that person says hello. And that person goes on and kept saying hello. So your hello that you thought went deaf ears created a movement for that moment, for that day, maybe forever. Okay? And yeah, you're right, Chris. We are all more the same than we are different. I believe that. That's the truth. So don't discount people because they're upset or angry. You'd be surprised. Sometimes their stories come flashing back to them at that moment. You could look like somebody that, you know, just triggers them. But it's not you. It's just what they're thinking or they're feeling. So now what we're going to do, we have a little bit of time. I'm going to give a couple card readings. I'm going to pick a couple cards. If you guys want a card, let me know. And I'll pull one for you. I'll pull a general card for the group just to kind of see where we're at. And I hope you like the topic today. Me, Tarzan, and Eugene. Me, Tarzan! Eugene. Like, I think in the short period of time, we try to cover, you know, as much as we can, but okay. And here we go. Ooh. I picked the owl card. The owl is about owl, omens, pay attention to signs. Okay. This is a perfect card. Okay. The owl is telling us to just pay attention and listen. Remember when I was talking about listen? That's what the owl's saying. Sometimes we have to sit there and hear somebody's story before we give our opinion about how the world is. Because I guarantee you that world is not how they see it or they feel it. But maybe they didn't know what they were feeling or feeling at that moment. Maybe they needed you to say something in order to jar something loose. But the owl, he sits on that branch and just chills. And when it's time to speak, the owl speaks. He pays attention to signs and omens. Okay? And you kind of have to be like the owl. Just be patient. Be patient because you know what? The patience is really about you, not about the other person. It's about how you respond or react to that person. That's where the patience is. My patience is wearing thin. It's up to you. All right, anybody else want a card? Let me know. I can draw one. If you want a card, I'm going to see you here online who pops up. I'll give you an animal card reading. And let's see. I don't see anything here. Okay. Let's see. Cheryl said, pick one for me, Iggy. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to shuffle. Every day I'm shuffling, shuffling. Boom. All right. Let's see. All right. Here we go. Boom. Ooh. Raccoon. The raccoon is about resourcefulness. You have all the resources you need. All right, Cheryl, whatever your situation is, whatever you're contemplating, the raccoon says, be resourceful. You have it all. Put it together, okay? Basically, what the raccoon's saying is you have to kind of put your ducks in a row and kind of organize yourself, get situated, and kind of work things through. Okay, the raccoon is just kind of good energy. It's also a very interesting situation because the raccoon has to have resourcefulness too. It needs resources in order for it to eat. Okay, those of you who know the raccoon, when it needs to eat, it has to lay its food. That's why you always see it wetting its hands and when it's in the water, because that helps with its digestion. It has to break down the food and make it soggy. Okay, so the raccoon has its resourcefulness in the way it has to process and work through. So do you, Cheryl. You have to work through that process too. You got to find new things that will help you and move through your process. Okay? Don't give up. Never quit. Okay, Susan. Let's see what we got here for you. And I have turtle energy. Good old Mother Earth energy. Turtle says retreat. Stop trying to make things happen. Stop trying to make things happen. Okay, turtle is telling you to be fluid. Let go. Don't be like the sea turtle out of water on the beach. It is slow and cumbersome. It can't move. But when it's in the water, it can navigate. It can swim. It can twist. It can do some very amazing things. Okay? Now, water is also purification. It's also a cleansing. And Susan, it's telling you that it's time for a cleansing, it's time for a salt bath, it's time to relax, it's time to treat yourself to some ice cream. You've been working too hard, you've been taking care of other people's business, okay? All right? It's time for a retreat for Susan. Susan needs a break. Susan needs a place. She needs to go back to Peru with Iggy in June, okay? Maybe. But either way, that's your card, that's your read. All right? Anybody else need a card real quick before we move on here? Because I'm about to close down the card reading portion of our show unless someone pops in there and wants one. All right. Let's see. So I don't see anybody popping up. So if someone pops up, I'll pull one up. But we're going to go into a little bit of a little meditation to close out the night. So what we're going to do is I'm going to light my sage. Okay. There we go. All right, Chris, you want a card? All right, hold on a second. All right, let's go, Chris. Chris, how you doing, my brother? Good to see you. I hope you had fun at the drumming the other day. That was a lot of fun to see you. Love you guys. Here we go. All right, Chris. Ooh. Look what you got. You got the lion. The lion's about courage. Ask for what you want. All right, Chris, whatever you've been wanting to work on or something that's kind of been piquing your interest, something that is very important to you, and you're not quite sure if you're ready to step into that, okay? All right? The spirit's just telling you, you know, be prideful, be like the lion, keep your head up high, and ask. Ask for what you want. Now, you'll always have to, also as you ask, you must also create a game plan. You must create a plan of action. You have to create a way for this to happen. Okay? Sometimes things fall in our lap, okay? And sometimes it doesn't. All right? But whatever you do, stay focused, stay the course, okay? And you know what? Things will move into your place, into your way. All right? And I believe, hopefully that helps you a little bit. Because you kind of look like a lion now with your beard and your hair and everything. So like, all right? All right, let's go into our into our meditation. I just want everybody to just kind of relax. Everybody let's take 3 deep breaths really quick. We'll start with 1. Another deep breath in. Release. Another deep breath. Last one. And let it all out. Just let it all out. Feet to the ground or back to the bed, wherever you're at, just relax. Find a little space. I just want you to picture this beautiful white light around you, this beautiful bubble that's just all around you. Okay? This bubble is going to be your protection. This bubble is going to hold you, you know, beautiful space. Okay? I want you to pick a number, 1 through 10. This number is your safe number. So if you want to come back from the journey, all you got to do is think of the number, and it brings you right back. You want to stay on the journey inside your bubble? You want to continue? You have a little apprehension, but you want to stay? I want you to pick a color in the rainbow, any color in the rainbow. Any color that's not seen by the human eye. I want you to pick that. That color is your safe color. Just want you to relax. And I want you to start to feel the bubble rising. This bubble starting to lift off the ground. You start to feel it rising higher and higher into the sky. You start to feel light. You start to feel very comfortable. You begin to navigate into the sky higher and higher. You start to spin a little bit to the right, a little to the left, calibrating yourself. You look out the bubble and you see the ocean, the mountains. You see the stars above. You begin to exit into the atmosphere. You start to break away. You start to go out into outer space. You begin to move faster and quicker, quicker and faster. You begin to go past all the planets in our galaxy at a high rate of speed. You start to see your life flash before you, future, past, and present. You're going faster than the speed of light, quicker and faster, faster and quicker. We come to the edge of our universe. We come to the edge. And we come to the edge where there is a bright light. And this bright light is a shining transit door. You park your bubble right at the door. You step towards the door, and this door is glowing. The door gives off a warmth of energy, a warmth of feeling. You begin to take your right hand, open the door, pushing it in, and you walk through, setting your intentions to see what you need to see, feel what you need to feel. You begin to walk through the door. You begin to walk down this hallway with these beautiful pictures and murals all over the wall. As you look, you see landscapes, oceans, animals. And then you come to the end of the hallway and you see this beautiful mirror with the blue flame all around it. A blue soft flame. And you walk up to the mirror and you look in the mirror and you see your reflection. You see yourself in this mirror. And in the mirror, you look and you look at yourself and you stare at yourself. And then in a moment, the reflection inside the mirror bends over and whispers a message in your ear, giving you direction, giving you an insight. You cross your hands together, you bow, you give thanks, you begin to walk away from the mirror as your reflection walks away as well. You turn around, you walk down the hallway, and you see this beautiful hallway turn into this beautiful array of colors. You come to the transit door, which is still glowing and shining. You walk through it, back into your safe bubble, and you begin to journey. Begin to journey back to your galaxy, back towards Mother Earth. Faster, quicker, you begin to move, passing all the planets, passing the moon, and you arrive, and you stop, and you look at the planet, the big blue planet. You begin your descension, back down into the atmosphere, slowly but surely. Slowly, slowly, you return back to the space where you began your journey, back in your chair, back in your bed, wherever you are. Plant your feet, feel your feet, wiggle your toes, wiggle your fingers, clap your hands, and you've returned with your message, with your story given to you by the higher version of yourself. In your home. 1 + 1 = 2. Now you begin. Well, I hope you enjoyed today. I hope you enjoyed your journey today. I know we covered a lot and we talked a lot about a lot of different things. And if you enjoyed the journey, let me know. Email me. Let me know. If you have any questions about the show, the topic we talked about today, let me know. I'm open to ideas. If there's something you want me to cover, something you want to talk about, a Q&A or something in the future, let me know. I really enjoy doing these shows. I really enjoy these podcasts and sharing with you my insights and my perceptions and my experiences on life and how I see things. And hopefully you have that too. With insightsradio.com is a place where we kind of all our shows are anchored. IggyGarcia.com is also my home base. If you want a drumming, they'll be drumming from 6 to 9 at my friend's house. There's an event page popping up, so I'll let you know. That's my sage place, I believe. It's her place. So my calendar is online. So if you want to find out what I'm doing, where we're going, where we're drumming, where we're sweating, whatever, it's all there. All right, my friends, thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for being here. Like I said, if you want more information about me, go to iggygarcia.com. That's the best place to find things and find past shows. I'm also on Anchor or on iTunes. Everything's there. Really enjoyed it today. I had fun. It was a great time. I really just love sharing my stories with you and my meditations and my readings with you. If you want further in-depth readings, get a hold of me. Set up a session with you. With that, I want to say good night. Be well. Ho'oponopono. Much love. Peace and love. You know, it's good to be here, as always. Thank you, guys. All right. Love you, guys. Be well. Take care. Love you.